So thank you, Bianca, and the whole team from Notumbria for this invitation. It's so great to be able to share some of our research. It doesn't matter the stage of the challenges of the research. I also want to thank the whole team that's part of this research. We have three of them here. We have Jeff, we have Roberto, and I'm also going to talk about the Emile Bier, I believe, from Canada. Michelle, Hugo, and also Priscilla. And I also want to thank all the inhabitants of the occupation, because without them, we would not have the research, this ethnographic research. It has to have the permission of the people who are going to offer their time, their space. So I really, I'm really grateful to them. And I also wanted to make, I'd like to mention our friend who left us a year ago, John Burdick, who was our friend, my friend for 20 years. And I'm still recovering for his loss, for the loss of this friend, as an intellectual, as a person who would insist on being an activist. So I would like to make a tribute in this presentation to him. And it's fair, this tribute I'm making to this great friend who left us with great memories, and unfortunately, we lost him. So this research, it's part of a big umbrella called Helping the Poor Stay Put for the Right to Live in Downtown. So, and it involves a few projects, living projects. Some created by the states, but other occupations, other projects, other habitation products, living products are occupied in other ways. So I will focus here in the occupation that were up to me to research about them. So this video that was produced by our friend Emily, it showed exactly the time when this occupation, and up to now, I still keep talking about this. I wasn't able to participate fully at that moment because I wasn't in Rio, but I was invited to be part of the team of people who would be occupying that space. So it happened on the 13th, not on the 15th, but finally, one of the occupations we had right from the beginning, when me and John, we discussed this project, we wanted to have a research that would be useful for the group of people being researched, not just a research for us, for the academics from the academy. But he used to work for, to be related to work for Syracuse University. And he wanted that this research would be something that somehow would contribute to the people with whom we would work together. And this is exactly the word that we like to use, because anthropology, which is in a theoretical discussion, is a science. The formal this we have the formal theory, but we also have the people with whom we're going to have a dialogue. But the final product, it has to be something really relevant. So we need to do this. We need to make sure we participate in a very actively way in all the reivindications, all the daily issues in the community, like we're going to see. So we tried to integrate as much as possible, and we participated even in the cleaning of the space, not only in that area. So this is our motto. So living is a right. So occupy is a must. Occupation Vito Gianotti. So this is the facade of Vito Gianotti. So next slide, please. So in order for us to have now a research that would really be relevant for this group, we would have to use a concept which we discuss more and more each time, a simplified anthropology, which would be, next slide, please. Next slide, something that would give us answers. So to do that, we had to be all the time, next slide, please. And in this way, we tried at all the time, each time, to correspond to the needs of the people, not exclusively material needs, like what they needed to live there, but also how people incorporated the idea that they were invading a property that belonged to someone else, and they would start to incorporate, they start to feel like the occupier, a person that's occupying that space that was empty, and it was their right to be in that space. So this is something that happened step by step. And with these people that we can see in this picture, they only entered this occupation for reasons of their need, but they felt like they were committing a crime. So we tried, when I say us, I mean the leaders and the researchers and some of the people who already lived there, who had some experience. So we tried to promote debates and conversations. And I have a long road as an activist here in Rio de Janeiro. And John also had an experience in the United States to resist the policies at his city, and also Roberto, with his long activism as a researcher. And so before he was an activist for the rights of habitation, and after he became, he contributed a lot with twice as researchers, because he would bring us questions that we had no idea, since we did not live in that universe. And so his experience was very important. So we tried to reconcile our experience as activists, as of social movements, with our experience. Next slide, please. Our experience as researchers. And then, this one is me and my friend John Burdick, when in a few words, we did some cleaning to make the place in a good situation where we could, people could live there. So it was a joint effort. And we have to strengthen this idea of work, working in group. And so that's the example. We are there together with the people working. It was hard work, but very gratifying. And we learned with the people, with their daily lives as a researcher, especially in the human sciences. And we have to learn with the people with whom we are working. So this is just an example of a joint effort that we participated in. So John, maybe also Jeff, they taught English to the people there, because we used to say it was almost like a guilt complex that we had this preoccupation, in quotation marks, because we would take their time, we would eat with them, we would sometimes even interfere in some of the important decisions. So I think that is an important way for us to include them, since we wanted to have an anthropological research. We had to really be part of the daily life of people and to share their experiences. So John and myself, one of the times when the police was violent during one of the manifestations, one of the protests, during the last World Cup. And we were attacked with pepper spray. So I have to be fast. Next slide, please, because our time is running out. And there, it's one of the new faces of the occupation. So as soon as we went in, we saw those murals, the political illiterate, the political illiterate. And then this is what we call the pedagogy of the occupation pedagogy, where I'm not sure if you translate, we have to respect the women, machismo kills, we have to respect the rules of the collective, because if we, the occupations would be feminine if we had a gender for it. So there is a concern, a fundamental concern that we men, we can live with a new masculinity where we can be harmonic. We can live with each other in a harmonic way, and building housing is the first step for building a more just, a more humanitarian society, and also to discuss the city. Next slide, please. Okay, and here Jeff was doing his part. I think he was peeling potatoes, and Juan was chatting with people, and I was trying to cook. And this is fundamental. The kitchen in at the first time of the occupation, it's universal for human beings, but here, especially in Brazil, it's where we try to understand the dynamics of the families. For families, the kitchen is fundamental, is essential. And at the first, the kitchen was collective, where people would get together to talk, we would share our experiences. So I don't want to go over my time. Next slide, please, just to finalize. What I tried to summarize the best I could is that what we tried all the time was to share our experiences and our symbolic capital as part of the academia. And why is it important? Because sometimes the police would think twice before attacking the residents, because they would see some academics there. So me, because I am a Black man, I'm tall, I'm 1 meter and 90 centimeters tall, but for the police, I'm one more Black man. But as our friend Luciana Lago, which I mentioned, forgot to mention, and several students who are white, they serve kind of as a roping off the, and we also, we share the symbolic capital to serve also as a physical protection even for the people who are fighting for the rights to housing. Okay, so I'm gonna stop here so I can hear you all and to be part of this discussion. And I thank you. I hope I contributed to this debate that's going to start.
Para todos e todos que estão presentes, estão participando, né, desse momento tão simbólico para todos nós, né, que é essas conversas e depois os debates decoloniais também. E eu quero iniciar a minha fala.
And this poem, it was not published yet, so it's a big privilege for me. It's part of a book called "The Stones in the Stones, the Lilies Are Born," written by Elaine Freitas, a teacher and a poet writer and former member of the Popular Housing Project Quilombo da Gamboa. And this poem talks about one of the areas where the project fights for living and in housing in the middle of the city in the last 6 years. Listen to the whistle of the ships for the banishment of the inhabitants of the port. In their farewell eyes, the sadness of not being able to take everything and everyone, but also take them where? The town hall answers, take them far away, under the bridge. This way, the media and the Olympic referees will pass by calmly, without coming across the affection of street vendors evicted from the mansion. They will be able to enjoy the wonder of the open view of the bay transformed into a sewer, walk through the large square of modern museums without the shadow of the many big heads fought against since the old new plan of Pereira Passos, preferring boats with goods instead of collective housing. Until the old new project of Eduardo Paes, serving cruises with tourists to dazzle of rich people and at the expense of the poorest people's ruins. Revitalization forms an open air concentration camp. To the despair of the residents of Providencia, Saúde, Gamboa, Santo Cristo, and Morro do Pinto. And they still watch reports charging the exiles with happiness for the VLT and cable car. It sounds like a mockery, but it's quite serious. The counterpart to terror, amazingly, is a ride on an electric cable car. Listen to the ship's whistle. It's getting louder and louder. Now it gives another warning. It announces that after the time to cry, it's time to light the fuse. It is in the inheritance of João Cândido, of Tia Ciata, engraved in the stones, in the water, in the leftover wood from demolished houses, so that resistance can be built up. From the past, Horácio Estivador, capoeirista, nicknamed Prata Preta, Black Silver, teaches how to make barricades. He's back, resurrected, and collectivized in the midst of Carnival. The righteous revolt always has the final word. On the ground, washed by enslaved peoples, arriving at the port already dead, and henceforth named New Blacks, warrior of other times, reborn in their descendants, descendants of Zumbi do Palmares, comrades of Prata Preta, Quilombola warriors are like flowers born from the asphalt. The people's struggle is the only legacy. John Burdick and Elaine Freitas will always be present with us. So starting, I would like to thank Bianca for bringing this very important discussion, not just to the academy, but the way those researches is doing in a more humane way. I consider myself very privileged as I did my graduation, my undergraduate in Rio de Janeiro, and in humanities, where were 42 students from different areas, walks of society, from quilombolas, from different groups. And from the beginning, so I went to do a post-graduation. So we had a proposal to talk about today, and with this thinking about the decolonialization thinking, I would like to explain about this process, which comes against the knowledge, which is the academy, which still continues. So the people, a teacher from Quito in Ecuador would say that in the Portuguese language, we can find in some texts traditionally the term decolonialization. We can find it since the beginning of the 50s, along with the discussions about post-decolonialization. So to exclude, it's my choice. I tried a plan to establish a discussion with a significance which can be understood as dismantling of the colonial, which means to go from a colonial moment to a not colonial moment, as if it was possible that its traces would stop existing. So we use a term that prevents us from thinking about the existence of colonialism. It's our colonial inheritance that makes us to think about this inheritance, since we cannot distance ourselves from it. And the subtitle of the book that she writes about the practices, the colonial practices, and how we can think about the new ways to live, and the writings there, the knowledge from the from our daily lives. And this is the charge that colonialism left on our shoulders, especially in Africa, Latin America, and the Caribbean. So thinking about the research in which I participate for the last 6 years, coordinated by John Burdick, who left us, and as I am a militant and as an activist full-time, and many of us have large experience with social movements, popular movements. As we are talking about the popular and social movements, it has been a while since in this category of popular movements. I'll give you the example of the CMP, Center for Popular Movements. It encompasses other struggles, not just a struggle for housing. It also for in favor of women, the LGBTQ, Blacks, people who are homeless. So this new name of calling the social movements are more encompassing, more inclusive. So I cannot hear now. I cannot hear him. Roberto, something happened to your microphone. Oh yeah, now I can hear you. So thinking about this research in which I participated during the last 6 years, coordinated by John Burdick, and as I am a full-time activist and most of our teammates with a large experience in social and popular movements, which now prefer to be called popular movements, which encompasses several struggles, including the struggle of women for the land, for the homeless, for the LGBTQ population, and other fights. So from the beginning, at the beginning of the research, I was kind of lost because the research was too far away from the product to be researched. So as time went by, I started to realize how ethnography could be one of the tools which would help the researchers to relate their work to the people being the topic of the research, that they could be the protagonist of the research, and their voices would be the center of the research, and so they started being heard. And it was very emancipating for them to be part of the research and knowing that it was possible for the academia and the social movements to walk hand in hand in a just and equal way. So we are still in the condition of colony, but we needed to go against the ties in this unequal process that we are subjected to, spread by the modern capitalist world that prevents us from fulfilling our traditions. And this project was meticulously thought to give voice to those who still did not have any voice, and the basis of the social movement would be impacted, thinking about their councils, their deepest feelings, and only with the numerous interviews, field interviews, we could understand their work, and those interviews took place even in people's homes with coffee and cake, but we respected the ethics. Everything that was produced was accepted by all the leaders in the space. I remember the lasagna prepared in the collective kitchen where John lived for 15 days. Those are times of great learning, where the collectivity was the main focus of John's participation. And ethnography is a process of immersion. We could also notice during the research, the tensions, the divergences, the silences, that sometimes they would bring us important information, the smiles, the strategies used by everyone to continue in the struggle for housing. I confess, I don't even know how we'll be able to produce one or a final product for this historical research, as there are so many products generated by the research. As a full-time activist, I have to say it was a tense time as a researcher, and also thinking about which ones of those places would include me. What would be my relation with those people? And they were part of my daily life. So it was a question of understanding. There was a duplicity in myself, within myself, that had to be put in motion in distinct moments. in a time when the state decided, the government decided to kill more than 500,000 people in this country, but there was not 1 minute hunger would be a plague in the world, especially in countries, in colonial countries. And the CMP and other social movements, they went to the streets taking care of those rejected by the society. We took care of families from different occupations. We donated basic food baskets. And for me, that experienced this such an unfair time moment. Those people, those needy people, they wanted to be heard. They wanted not just food. So what could we do? We had to listen to them. Through listening, it was one of the biggest teachings that our master John Burdick left us. The research has allowed us several of those listening moments, listening, which has awakened the critical thinking. And so to end my speak, it was a great pleasure and a big hooray to all the researchers who are sensitive enough to contribute to a more humane way with their work. Thank you.